Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Not a whole lot. You know, just typical Wisconsin. You know, we had, snow on Friday night, Saturday. Then it's been 50 the past couple of days, thunderstorms tonight, snow tomorrow, 60s on Sunday. You know, it's typical. You know, you get all four seasons, spring, summer, winter, and fall, all in about a week time frame in Wisconsin. So, you know, just trying to keep up with the, you know, with what's going on out there so I can make sure I'm dressing appropriately so I'm not caught in wearing shorts when the temperatures drop and start snowing. So, but with that, got a jam-packed show tonight, talking some Daytona 500 out of the gate to get your thoughts on the race. I know you said you watched a little bit of it, so I want to get your thoughts on that. Eddie Lacy would like, said the Packers would like him back. They're very interested in him returning. So talk about the possibility of Eddie Lacy returning to Green Bay. It's a good idea. And we can also talk about some free agents that are out there, some guys that were cut today, like Adrian Peterson and Darrell Revis. And then guys that aren't getting the franchise tag, like Alshon Jeffrey, and guys that did get the franchise tag but are super happy, and Kirk Cousins, which we did talk a little bit about last week. But before we do go on any further, how are things out in Western PA?
Well, like you, trying to figure out this crazy winter, crazy weather. I'm thinking we might have to get like a Red Light Sports Ramble meteorologist to join the show every once in a while and explain to us why we have 60-degree weather one day and then snow 2 days later. It just seems kind of weird to me. You know, I'm so used to just it's going to be cold for 4 months and that's the way it goes. And this is just crazy. But other than that, another normal day and just excited to talk some sports tonight. I mean, these shows, Evan, you and I could probably put together a two-hour show right now. It's a busy time in the NFL, and like you said, we're going to talk a little bit about Daytona 500. I know a lot of people get excited about racing. That's one of those, you know, kind of gets shoved behind everything else in conjunction with the four major sports. But I'll tell you what, NASCAR is probably as fruitful as it's ever been, and really, I think, gaining viewership. You know, guys just drive around the track. People enjoy watching it. Every time you look at a race, those stadiums are packed. People line up to get into the NASCAR races, but it's one of those things that not a lot of people talk about unless it's a race on Sunday. That's about it. Or something bad happens. You know, that's the other thing. But another great show tonight. You know, a little NFL, a little NASCAR, so I'll turn it back over to you. I did watch a little bit of the race. I enjoy the Daytona 500. I enjoy NASCAR. Like I said last night, we cheer for our home state boy, Matt Kenseth, who did not fare very well in the Daytona this year. Usually he does. Usually does pretty well in Daytona, but just had a rough go of it on Sunday. But Matt Kenseth, you know, the Wisconsin guy, I got to cheer for him. But did you get a chance to catch any of the race?
No, and to get a chance to watch a lot of it, tuned it in every now and then. But I do know that there are lots of accidents. Only about 25 people actually finished out of, I think it was 40-some-odd people started. About 25 finished. So lots of accidents. Dale Earnhardt Jr. got knocked out of the race with an accident. Kenseth knocked out the race with an accident. And Kurt Busch ended up getting the win. You know, he only led one lap the entire race, but it was the lap that counts, and it was the final lap. And like I said, that's the lap that counts. If you lead the final lap, you're the winner. So he wins the Daytona 500, his first time ever, and he gets to celebrate it. And your general thoughts on the race? The good race, okay race, better than others? You know, what were your thoughts on it?
Kind of a boring one, to be honest. I've seen better. But, you know, first race of the year, and it's funny, you know, like you said, you only got to lead that last lap. And you know, a lot of times it is survival of the fittest. You know, there was a lot of problems in the race, a couple accidents that knocked some key names out. And I guess, you know, if you're a NASCAR executive, you know, it's one of those catch-22s. Do you want the no-namers up there? Do you want guys that haven't won before? Do you want fan favorites up there? And, of course, Earnhardt Jr., big fan favorite. I'm not sure if Matt Kenseth would rank among fan favorites, but he's been a very consistent driver. He's always in the chase. He's a very good veteran racer, and, you know, he's a well-known name. But, you know, I mean, it was enjoyable. I enjoy, you know, watching. I don't sit down and watch every single lap. I'm not that much of a diehard. Like I said, I was working, so I didn't catch the beginning of the race. I always like to usually watch the first few laps, usually till like the first caution comes out or the first pit stop. Then I'll go do some other things and catch it maybe a little bit past the midway point. But like I said, it was a race. I've seen some better ones, but the last lap was exciting when you had, you know, the lead overtaken on the last lap. That's always fun and exciting. So I guess that was, to me, kind of the exciting part of the race when you look at that. But, I mean, the racing for week one was okay. We'll see how the season unfolds. It's a, you know, pretty long NASCAR season. And I know you and I don't talk about it much on the show. We don't divulge into it every day. If anybody listens to the show and you're a big NASCAR fan, feel free to join us. Call the show. Fill us in. Educate Evan and I a little bit more on the intricacies of NASCAR racing. But, no, I enjoyed it, Evan. You know, we'll follow it as time goes on. But, you know, some people, when you look at NASCAR and the popularity of it, they're going to know the big names. So that's why I said, is it a catch-22? Do you want people up near the front, near the leaderboard, leading and contending to win, or do you want those common names up there? Because if you're not a NASCAR fan, you may not know some of the people that have not won Daytona, and are they trying to pull in the casual fan? Like I said, and I want to get your thoughts on the health of NASCAR. I think they're doing just fine. I don't think they need to pull in a casual fan, Evan. They have such a good, loyal fan base that they don't need to go out and search like the NFL is trying to do, maybe even the NBA and, you know, Major League Baseball, trying to pull in the casual fan. I think NASCAR has a pretty solid fan base and pretty much a fanatic fan base that is very loyal to NASCAR. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, well, you know, NASCAR back, you know, let's rewind a little bit. Middle 2000s, early 2000s, NASCAR all over the place. You see it all over the four-letter network. You see it all over the media. It's talked about nonstop, and you hear all about it, and it's advertised a lot. You know, this year Daytona 500. You know, when Fox is pushing the advertising for it with the football crew, the guys that do the football pregame show, that was the first time in a while I've seen NASCAR push that hard in the media. And I know you talk about, you know, you feel NASCAR is, you know, fine, but I kind of disagree there. I see how little money they spend advertising and marketing it. They don't market it at all. They don't really advertise it at all. And, you know, television viewership, that's where they could earn some money. And I would guess if I look at the TV ratings between the races last year and the races, let's say 8 years ago or 12 years ago, I'm guessing television ratings are down. And I'm guessing other than the major races like Daytona and Talladega and Brickyard, I'm guessing attendance is down at some of these races. And I get that the hardcore fans are still there, but it's not really talked about like it used to be anymore. And it hasn't really been since the Great Recession of 2007, 2008. You know, when the automobile industry took a huge blow, that affected NASCAR huge. And I still think they haven't come fully back from that. Can they get to that point again? I think so. But I just, and I think that's why they're trying to, like, you know, the chase for the cup and all these things that they're trying to do to stir things up a little bit and get more excitement though. So I just, you don't see it in mainstream media anymore. That's what I mean when I say, you know, I don't feel NASCAR is as popular as it was, let's say, 12 years ago.
Well, I think part of that might be, Evan, too, is that, you know, you look at the races and pretty much you have the big names, but on week in and week out, there's so many things that are going into racing now that you don't have, like, the dominant win streaks like when a Jeff Gordon was racing and, you know, Dale Earnhardt Sr. and those guys that were always there. I mean, I know Jimmy Johnson is there, but even he's declining right now a little bit, I guess. I guess you can say that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think NASCAR is one of those, I'll call it a niche sport. I don't think you're going to attract a casual fan except for Indy 500 or Daytona 500. I don't think you're going to have a casual fan that is just all of a sudden on the bucket list, say, hey, let's go catch a NASCAR race. I think you're going to find a NASCAR fan base that is either all in or that's it. I don't think you get a casual fan that's going to say, hey, maybe I'll catch a race and that's what I want to do. So I think it's one of those niche-type sports. But, you know, like I said, I enjoy it. I guess, you know, there's something about NASCAR that I do enjoy, and I'll watch every race on a Sunday, not start to finish. But, you know, as it goes, you know, it's one of those things where I agree with you. They could do more to market it, but I think this fan base that they have, you're either all in or – You're not like a casual fan. You're either all in and understand it, or you don't understand it. So, but enough of Daytona 500, Evan. There's a lot going on in the NFL right now, and a lot of interesting things that happened today. And we're going to get right into that. I'm going to turn it over. We could probably spend the next 2 hours talking NFL football, but we got about 15 minutes left.
Yeah, what I want to start with is Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy was interviewed, talked with, I believe it was Adam Scheffler today on Scheffler's podcast. And Lacy is saying that the Packers want him back. The Packers want him back to Green Bay, very vocal about it. They want to bring him back into the fold. And I guess the question is, should the Packers bring Eddie Lacy back? And I look at it, I would like Eddie Lacy back. I think that you look at what Eddie Lacy was doing prior to being injured, and he was averaging about 5 yards per carry. He was on pace to get over 1,000 yards rushing. It looked like the Eddie Lacy we had in week one and two. And then they, you know, Eddie Lacy, I don't know how much he had to say with it, how much of a say he had to play or not. You know, he gets hurt, then he re-aggravates his injury. In the game against Dallas, he had no business playing it, and he was still running all over Dallas. I would like Eddie Lacy back. I think Eddie Lacy brings a lot to this offense. He knows the system. He knows, he knows the personnel schemes and all the stuff the Packers like to do. And the Packers need another running back or two. They can't just have only Ty Montgomery on the roster at running back. That's all they have right now. They have Ty Montgomery. That's it. And I don't feel Ty Montgomery is an every down back. I don't. I still have reservations about him, concerns about Ty Montgomery being that every down back. Eddie Lacy is that every down back, as he's showing he's trying to stay healthy at times. But I would love Eddie Lacy back in the fold. You give him a 1 to 2 year contract, pack it with incentives, pack it with performance bonuses and weight bonuses. You know, if he's able to have a certain weight, and that's how you do it with him. But I think he brings a lot to this offense, and he brings a lot of versatility to this offense Because then you can have Lacy and Montgomery in the backfield together. Now, who's going to get the ball? Are they going to run Montgomery? Are they going to run Lacy? Are they going to throw the ball to Montgomery? Are they going to motion Montgomery out of the backfield? There's a lot you can do with those two together on the field. And the other thing, you know, look at New England, what they did with LeGarrette Blount, and then you get then Deion Lewis or Stephen Ridley, James White, insert any running back you can possibly think of. Look what they did with those guys. LeGarrette Blount was the pound, pound, pound guy, and then Deion Lewis was that explosive guy. And that's what the Packers could do with Ty Montgomery and Eddie Lacy. You have Ty Montgomery, I mean, Eddie Lacy being that pound, pound, pound guy, and then you got Montgomery being that guy, you know, that threat out of the backfield, that passing threat, that route running threat, the guy that does that Deion Lewis or Darren Sproles type role. That's what I would like this Packer offense to do. Have Ty Montgomery do more of that Darren Sproles. And they could draft a running back. They could. But why draft a running back when you don't need to? And I guess you could say, yeah, they could sign Adrian Peterson, which I feel would be a huge mistake. I don't think Peterson will fit in Green Bay whatsoever. Jamal Charles just became a free agent. He's been injury-prone with knee injuries as of late. That's a big scare. But I think you bring Lacy back, you tackle with incentives, and then you draft a running back in the middle round, and now you got a three-headed monster backfield if that rookie running back can develop. And you're not stuck with just two running backs on the roster. Two running backs that have had a hard time staying healthy at that. So I would bring Lacy back. I think he still offers a lot. But would you bring Lacy back, or would you just say see you later and bring in a bunch of new guys that have no clue what the offense, you know, anything about the offense?
No, I'd bring him back. If you look at what Eddie Lacy can do, and like you said before the injury, I thought Eddie Lacy was running well. But when you have a chance to bring back a guy that's been in the system and a guy that understands what's going on in the Packer offense, there's that learning curve. I mean, everybody looks at free agents and says, you know, like you said, an Adrian Peterson, a Jamal Charles. Yeah, big names, bring in a big name. Well, they've got to fit in the system. They got to fit into the role of what needs to be done. And Eddie Lacy can be a power running back. He came into this year, we talked about it, contract year. He came in fit. And I would imagine if he signs a 1 or 2 year deal, he's going to play that out hard and still try to land that big, big payday. A guy like Eddie Lacy, Evan, and complemented by Ty Montgomery, like you said, I think is a perfect combination. Green Bay needs to get that power running game. Ty Montgomery filled in admirably, and I know that he ran hard. But Eddie Lacy can be a big bruising back. And we saw when he was on top of his game how he wore defenses down. If you think back a couple years ago, the combination of Eddie Lacy and James Starks, you run Lacy, pound him in the beginning, put Starks in there in the middle, and then in the middle of the third quarter, fourth quarter, let Eddie Lacy take over and just demoralize the defense. That's what Eddie Lacy can do. And when I look at the free agent market out there, and I look what the options are at running back, is there really a back out there that can do that? You mentioned New England. Look what they did with the three-headed monster. They had White, Lewis, and Blount. Blount's the bruiser, and then White and Lewis can come over to the backfield and do different things. And Ty Montgomery can definitely fill that role. He's a guy that can run the ball, and he can run in between the tackles if you need him to, but he can also come out of the backfield and be a not even a security blanket. You run packages for him out of the backfield. I like a two-back set of Montgomery and Lacy at times because you're absolutely right, Evan. What are they going to do? They're going to pound it with Lacy? What's going to go on with Ty Montgomery? Because even he could run it. He could run it up the middle. So I definitely think you bring Lacy back. I don't think you're going to have to break the bank to even do it. And I'm not sure what his interest will be on the free agent market. I'm sure there's a team out there, and there's going to be that one or two teams that maybe want to overpay. But if you show Eddie Lacy the love and get this done now, do it. Get it done. don't let them go out there and find that one team that wants to drop big bucks because they just feel like spending money. Because I think for the Packers' success, they need to be able to have the play action going. And we saw how hard it was for Rodgers to drop back 40 times with no running game and try to win ball games. It can be done, but it's hard. And then you look at how easy it is, and I say easy from the sense that with Aaron Rodgers and a play action, how much more success Aaron Rodgers can have. Now, I'm not saying they can't have it without Eddie Lacy, but I think having Eddie Lacy and that threat in there is definitely a positive. Do you have to bring in yet another running back? I think you probably do, and maybe you entertain that with a draft pick. A third or fourth round pick, maybe? I don't know. But you bring Lacy back, you have Ty Montgomery, you probably want to add another running back. Maybe you go out in free agency and pick up a second-tier running back that can fill in case Lacy gets hurt. But here's the thing, if you have Lacy and Montgomery, if Lacy gets hurt, we know Ty Montgomery can carry the load because he did it at the end of last year. But like you, I don't think he's an every down back. But if Lacy would get hurt, you could fill in with Ty Montgomery. And we saw the injury bug at running back last year with the Packers. End of the day, I bring Eddie Lacy back, Evan.
I definitely would, too. I think it's just worth it. And look at the time. I'm going to, change gears a little bit. I know there's a free agents available, whatnot. But, I ran across this. And, normally I'll do this on a Thursday, end of the week. But I have my new, as I call it, my ass hat of the week. And today, Troy, it's the NCAA. I'm giving that award to the NCAA today. So I saw this article, I ran across this on Twitter from David Pergman, ESPN staff writer, Richmond baseball players suspended over fantasy football. Five Richmond baseball players who have been ruled ineligible at the NCAA were involved in fantasy football, leading to their suspension to start the season, according to the Richmond Times-Dispatch report. From the article, the university announced February 17th that five student athletes on the baseball team had committed secondary violations and will be ineligible for competition until the NCAA completes the reinstatement process. The Times-Dispatch, citing multiple unnamed sources, later reported that the secondary violations were related to the players' participation in fantasy football. The university, per athletic department policy, declined to offer further comment when reached by ESPN on Tuesday, has not identified the players involved. The NCAA considers fantasy sports contests with an entry fee to be of wagering and therefore off-limits to student-athletes regardless of sports. ESPN has reached out to the NCAA and Atlantic 10 Conference for comment. Fantasy sports are specifically legal in Virginia and regulated by the state's Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. So, five Richmond baseball players doing stuff that you and I do, college kids all over the country do, playing in a fantasy football league, a league where there was a buy-in to get into the league, and they're suspended for five games for playing fantasy football. And here's the thing. The NCAA, in a couple weeks, Troy, what are they going to be shoving down everybody's throat? Fill out your brackets, fill out your brackets, fill out your brackets. And I know the NCAA doesn't, they don't say, join these pools and fill out your brackets and try to win money. I know they don't go out and say that. But come on, everybody knows, most people don't fill out the brackets just for the fun of it, just for laughs. They're filling it out with usually an entry fee for some pool. But I just found the NCAA hypocrites. They made billions of dollars a year, and five players who don't even play. You don't even play football. They play baseball. They join fantasy football leagues in football, and they're suspended for five games. Like, is it really that big of a deal that they're playing fantasy football for money? Is that really that huge of a deal? So So that's who I give my Ass Hat of the Week award to. So what are your thoughts on this? Is it right for the NCAA to see it ridiculous like I do?
That is the great debate, Evan. And with this daily fantasy sports, DraftKings and FanDuel, and you know, I play DraftKings every day. I'm, as the show is on, I have my DraftKings screen up that says my contest and what I'm currently winning. I play DraftKings every day. Some people will say it's gambling. Other people will say it's a game of skill. Some states have banned it. Here's my thought on this fantasy football thing. I know the rules because I coach college athletics. Any form of gambling is illegal in the eyes of the NCAA. So apparently the NCAA believes that playing fantasy football is gambling, and I guess in a sense you can say it is. Here's my problem. When DraftKings had NCAA football and basketball on DraftKings, Evan, I understood why it would have been illegal for an NCAA player to be involved in DraftKings. I really did. Now the NCAA and all college athletics are off of the daily sports sites. So therefore, I look at it as a person that is engaging in what I call recreational fun. I'm not going to break the bank. I'm not going to lose my house. Now, gambling can become addictive. I know that. Some people do have gambling problems. I don't consider it gambling. Yeah, some people will. I do it recreational. You know, I invested, I think, a mere $12 today. And if I win $15 or $20, so be it. I do it for fun. So fantasy football, for a lot of people, is fun to play with their buddies, to play competitive. So when I look at these little leagues, Evan, where there's 10 people and you're playing with your buddies and you pay $50 to get in, and the top three people win. To me, that is just a form of good fun with friends. I mean, they could take that $50 and go on a bender and go out and go to a bar and get in a bar brawl. And when I look at it, there's a difference between gambling in Vegas or betting and wagering on games than playing fantasy football or daily fantasy sports. The NCAA, Evan, needs to figure it out when it comes to that gambling rule. I know what they're doing. They're putting their foot down on all gambling, so they don't have to do that. But with the way the world of daily fantasy sports is evolving, they need to look at it. They've already got it, so they can't put NCAA contests on daily fantasy sports. The NCAA now needs to look at it, and I understand finding a bookie and wagering or doing the thing in Vegas and betting on a spread and betting on games that way, that's gambling for a college athlete. These fantasy football leagues and daily fantasy sports, to be honest, Evan, if a college athlete wants to get involved in that, I don't care. The NCAA does. It doesn't matter what I think. But I think there's a big difference between playing a daily fantasy sports game, fantasy football, or wagering on games. I really do. And I think the NCAA has to look at it. Because the world of daily fantasy sports, and like I know it's going to continue to be debated, but it's legal in some states, illegal in others. And if you're in a state that allows it, I don't see how a college player involved in that, how it's affecting their performance on the field. So that's my long rant on that.
Yeah, and with that, I've got about 40 seconds to go. And as I said, it's just fantasy football. Like, you know, what does it hurt? Fantasy football. I'm serious. So, you know, with that, I'm going to throw it back to you to give your final thoughts and let our listeners go.
Well, you guys can find us on Twitter a couple of ways. You can find Evan at Evan Witt Sports. You can find myself at TroyRobert967. Or you can follow the show Twitter handle at Red Light Sports. Wednesday nights are always our Twitter talk. So we go on the wonderful world of Twitter, look at the timeline, talk about some very important sports topics. If there's something you want us to talk about, find us on Twitter. Or better yet, Evan, listen to the show and call us live. and talk to us live on the air. With that said, for Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. We'll get back at you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.